This is Evangelist Mack of Adoration on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. Our program this evening is a replay of a Facebook Live my wife Myra and I did on Sunday, July 5th, with the subject matter being, Can My Gown Be White Again? From Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. We thank Pastor Jamila J. Woods for the message inspiration and Jesus Christ for the timely parable of the 10 virgins. Sit back and be blessed by the Word of God.
Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word. Now I worship at the feet.
Our God, our Savior, our Creator forever. We beseech you by the mercies that can only come by way of heaven, that we may present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto you, which is simply our reasonable service. And help us today, O Lord, to be not conformed to these worldly things, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to show what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will that can only come by way of you. We give you the glory, O God. We give you the honor because you are so worthy of our adoration and our praise. We acknowledge you as sovereign, O God, and we are so excited that we have access to you by way of Jesus Christ, that we no longer need a holy of holies or a curtain to separate us from communication with you. But simply by way of Jesus Christ, we can talk to you directly. You will hear us and you will respond to us. And so we thank you, oh God, for the access to holiness that we have each and every time we pray. So for the community that's listening right now, for those that might be going through financial crises, those that might be going through just spiritual issues right now, that are going through health issues, that are going through mental issues, oh God, anything that is separating your children from your presence, we speak to that today in the name of Jesus, and we put all of our issues, all of our problems, all of our concerns at the foot of the cross and at the throne of grace and mercy where you dwell. And oh God, be glorified in our humble submission unto you, knowing, oh God, that you have an ear to hear and will be moved by our worship, by our praise, and by our prayers to move and to act in your time according to riches in glory that you establish. God, you are the God of the universes. There is nothing that escapes you. There is nothing that is too hard for you. And so right now, oh Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be on air, to share, to praise, to worship, to teach, whatever it is you have for us. Let it be done in the spirit of excellency that can only come from heaven. We love you, O God, and we praise you, and we acknowledge yours. We acknowledge you as sovereign. In the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Lord and Savior forever. Amen. All right, y'all. I've been putting on some soft worship music. I'm going to kind of let that go down a little bit. Sorry, I got to be my own engineer and stuff right now, but that's okay. It is all good. So let us just go.
Just to be close to you is my desire.
No failure in you. I see you, Chili. Love you. It's my virtual wave to you. Amen. There is a message today, and I'm a little intimidated about sharing it, but I'm going to press on because God has been dealing with me this whole week, and you know, I study, you know, during the week. I study all the time.
But I never really rehearse what is going to be said. So when I'm on here and getting ready to give messages, they are fresh from the Lord and fresh from me. You know, I just try to get all the knowledge that God has for me to be able to share with you. And I want to really take a moment to let you guys know that we don't necessarily call this preaching, you know, but anything that's proclaiming the name of the Lord is preaching. So, you know, what I'm really trying to say is that so many times we have the word that's being presented to us, and it is so high and so intellectualized that oftentimes we're not able to actually understand what's going on in the scriptures. And what good is the communication if you can't understand it? And it might sound good, it might look good, but if you walk out of a service, or you walk out of a Bible study, or if you walk out of a gathering, no different, no transformation, no change, if that's what is happening, then what good was that word? We pray that we have transformational things to share with you. And these things are not complicated, because honestly, the things of God are not complicated at all. Many times we make it complicated, but in actuality, you don't have to be a theologian in order to be able to witness. You don't have to be a Bible scholar in order to be able to not only receive nuggets of wisdom from God, but to then allow God to give you a way in which to share his wisdom to a world out here that is in need of some really encouraging word, but also some correctional word, also some healing word, and also some faith-based word. And today, under the title of Can My Gown Be White Again? I know you're saying, well, what in the world is that talking about? So the Lord God Almighty has been dealing with me, and he gave me a reminder through a music minister who I have admired, I have actually served with, and, you know, been a part of for a number of years now. Her name is Reverend Pastor Jamila J. Woods. And Jamila and I come out of an experience called Back to Basics, which is headed by Pastor Milt Matthews and Reverend Dr. Linda Matthews. And they have been not only influencers of what I do to this very day, but they are literally, if I had a Mount Rushmore of influences into my evangelical pursuits, they are definitely on that Mount Rushmore. And Jamila, in particular, had a project back in the day. I don't even want to put years on it, because she's looking really good and really young, and you would not believe it if I told you how many years ago this came out. But the song, the message is, Can My Gown Be White Again? And it just popped into my head this week. And I even had to reach out to her after several years of not really being in touch, just to even get permission to use her song, which I'm hoping that when I do my audio podcast on the third Monday of this month, I'm praying that that song will be available for me to actually use as part of the ministry. Nevertheless, I boldly took the title because it addresses everything that I need to share with you today. So let's not think about gender, because the first thing you're saying is, Mac, are you actually going to wear a gown? And the answer is no, or in Espanol, nada. But the premise is that believers are the bride, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And in a spiritual context, can our gown be white again? And if it needs to be white again, that means that at one point it was white, and then somehow it had become tarnished, maybe even defiled. Nevertheless, we all know that our God is faithful and our God is just to meet us at our point of need, and to, unlike the world, not expose us and ridicule us, but to minister unto us and to help us to get back on track. And so I'm marrying a few things today along with this message. And it took me to the book of Matthew, specifically to chapter 25 and the first 13 verses, which is the parable of the 10 virgins. And so just as a beginning point, the moment that you see the 10 virgins, understand automatically that this is a message that was specific to believers. We're not even talking about the unbelievers here. We are talking about the believers. Now, in the day in which it was written, because it was written by Matthew, also known as Levi, and Matthew, as we know, was a tax collector, and Matthew, as I know, was also a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in fact, most importantly, he was a disciple that more than any of the others who have written the Gospels really is speaking to the nation of Israel. And so a lot of what I'm going to say today is going to be based in dealing with the nation of Israel, Old Testament. But these things are not just for our Jewish community, because it is also for us in the Gentile world to understand and to glean from, that we might be ready for a time that is already here, which is the end time, and be prepared for the coming of our Lord. And so, as we go into Matthew 25, we would be really robbing the text if we didn't first address a little bit of Matthew 24. Because if you even look at Matthew 25 in the first verse, it starts with this word that says then, which means that if the sentence starts with then, that means that there had to be something that preceded that word. And without reading the whole chapter 24, I snipped out the last part of it for our reading, because it's really speaking directly to what Jesus is getting ready to illustrate in a parable in Matthew 25. So let's go And let's explore this. I see you, T. God bless you and good morning. I'm waving at you, dear. Love you much. Hold on. Let me make sure my technology is right. So listen, beloved. In Matthew 24, I'm going to break out verses 36 through 51. And I'm reading this in its entirety because it helps us to better understand Matthew 25, which is our base scripture. So here we go. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one left. Two women will grind at the mill. One will be taken, and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pastor Philip Brown, God bless you. I see you. I'm waving at you. So let's pause for a moment and let's talk about this, because these are some very powerful words, beloved. And it sets us up for the story that Jesus is getting ready to share in Matthew 25. And so everything is going back to when the scripture talks about that it's going to be like in the days of Noah. And we all know, even if we have a faint understanding of the story of Noah, what we do know is that he was given instructions in order to build an ark. And this was during a time where there was no rain, and the people in his community, they laughed at him and they went about doing all kinds of things that were ungodly, unruly, because they just did not have an understanding of how God was using Noah to communicate his displeasure that the people of God simply turned away from him because of disobedience. And we talk about the days of Noah because they are not unlike this very day, July 5th, 2020. Because look at our world, beloved, and look at what is going on in it. You have a small portion of believers that are stepping out on faith, and they are sharing the unapologetically sound word of God that is talking about repentance, that is talking about reconciliation, that is talking about getting one's house in order because the bridegroom is coming. Yet, not only has the general population of the world turned away from God, many who profess to be Christians have been confounded by the things of the world. And we have joined ourselves in causes, in movements, and in organizations that if you would go on their websites and read their mission statements and their purpose statements and what they are about, you will see that in many cases they are anti-Christ, and we walk around with signs saying that we promote it. And this is the world that we're in when we are making commentary out of emotion and not out of spirituality that can only come from heaven, that allows us to just lambast our current president, to lambast all those who follow him and all those who have differences of opinion, whether they be dealing with politics, whether they be dealing with science, whether they be dealing with race. We are just simply being blown back and forth by whatever wind is blowing that is convenient at the time. Those are the days of Noah. Those are the days where it's just, we're going to party like it's 1999. And into this, Jesus in Matthew 24 is addressing end time processes. Some that speak to his return, some that speak to what the world is going to be like before he returns. You know, he gives you insight into the Antichrist and how the Antichrist will come. And we know that we're already in a world that is influenced by the spirit of Antichrist. But when the actual Antichrist comes, Jesus is addressing what will be taking place in the world. And by golly, look at our world, and here we are. And so, as Matthew chapter 24 caps off, then we go to Matthew 25, and it talks about then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So I'm going to slow down a little bit right here. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom in which God dwells, and at some point we will dwell as well. The kingdom of heaven, this will be after all the atrocities after all of the pillage will be this kingdom of heaven to come down, and we will have an opportunity to live, to move, and to have our being in the presence of Almighty God as joint heirs with Jesus Christ at his throne of grace. This kingdom of heaven is compared to 10 virgins. Virgins in the natural being those without sexual experience, but virgins in the spiritual being those who have been cleansed of iniquity and cleansed of sin and are now reborn, renewed, regenerated as new creations. They took their lamps. And just for the sake of argument, because a lamp is that which is a structure that allows for anything that's in it, specifically light, to be held in. And so that lamp represents our bodies. And our bodies have an important purpose while we're here on this earth. And so they took their lamps and they went to meet the bridegroom. Okay? So imagine just us taking our bodies and now we are going to meet the bridegroom. There is a wedding that's getting ready to take place, and we should be in a mode of preparation for that marriage. And I talked to my wife about this earlier because I wanted her to reflect on some of the things that we specifically did in order to prepare for our natural marriage. And you know, you guys know, you know, there's so many processes that go into the planning of the marriage. And my wife and I can agree that in the beginning, we did that without having a specific date in mind. And that makes that's an important thing to note when we're talking about this parable, because right now we don't know when the bridegroom is coming, and so we're still preparing for this marriage. And so my wife and I, when we were talking about it, we talked about all the natural things, but then we also talked about the spiritual things that we had to do, which involved much, much prayer and maybe fasting and just getting ourselves to a place where we would be undefiled. So I've said it before, but I'll say it again. We, in the natural, may not have been virgins because we both have had experience prior to our marriage. But the moment that we decided that we would be husband and wife, I can tell you, I already treated her as my wife, which is not only the biblical way, but that was part of the Jewish tradition as well, being betrothed even before the actual ceremony. And so if I'm saying that, beloved, because if we would live our lives as if we are preparing to be wedded in holy matrimony on a daily basis, we would automatically do the things necessary in order for us to be able to present ourselves before the bridegroom in excellency. And so let's continue on, because it says in verse 2, of Matthew 25, it says, five of them were foolish and five were wise. Foolish simply meaning that they lacked knowledge. Okay, it's not questioning, in this case, spiritually salvation, but lacking knowledge. And then five were wise. And we saw a glimpse of that in Matthew 24, okay, that it talks about the wise versus the unwise, the foolish. And in all of Matthew 24, it's really encouraging us, if I can use the proper slang, to stay woke, to be awake, to be aware at all times, to watch and pray. So anyway, five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And this is so important to understand, beloved, because remember, we're talking about the lamp being like the physical body. And into this lamp would have been an old school lamp, so no light bulbs in here. This would have been a lamp that would have had oil. It would have been fueled by oil, okay? Which in and of itself is something to be excited about, because it just tells you that when the oil is ignited, there will be light, there will be fire, okay? So if we as servants of the Most High God are filled with the oil of anointing, and not just filled with the oil of anointing, but overflow in the oil of the anointing, that we always have a reserve, that we will never have to worry about our oil supply running dry, because we live a life in which that oil is consistently and constantly growing in us and moving in us, to the point where I told my wife, I said, the oil should literally be coming out of our pores because of the fresh anointing that comes from on high. The five who were foolish, whatever was in their lamp is all that they had. So what does this mean, beloved? So in no way, shape, or form am I going to sit here publicly and challenge anybody's salvation. For the purposes of this message, let's just say that we are all saved. However, the five who were foolish represent those who are operating only out of the fact that they are saved. They've done nothing in order to move forward in their discipleship and their relationship with God our Father. And so whatever was originally in their lamp, their bodies, is all that they have, because they have never gone to the station of the oil of the anointing to be refilled, to be restored, to be regenerated. The word is easy, beloved, seriously. So you can be saved, you can be sanctified even, but if you are operating on a quarter of a tank, eventually you are going to run out of gas. That's all that's going on here. And so in the scriptures, the five who were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oils with their lamps. Now, as the bridegroom was delayed, well, why was he delayed? Well, he's still in the atmosphere preparing a place for us. You know, he says that, what does he say in his word? That he is not going to leave us without comfort, but he is going to prepare a place for us. And while he is preparing a place for us, guess what he does? He gives us the oil of anointing by way of the Holy Spirit, that we would not have to ever run out of oil or run out of anointing, but each and every day we can go up to the filling station of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and be refilled, so that we can go out into this world and that we would be not only covered by the blood of the Lamb, but we would also be filled with the oil of anointing, because the bridegroom has been delayed. Why has he been delayed? Because he's waiting for things to happen based upon his father's commands. We know that part of that is that Israel has to get to the place of salvation, that Israel has got to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We know this, beloved, if we read enough scripture. So everything is centered around the true nation of Israel. So that does not mean that every Jew will be saved, but what that means is that God will identify those who are really part of his chosen generation, and they will proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. That is one of the things that we are waiting for. Even our Savior is waiting for. So he's delayed. Oh my God. When you really think about it, it's just so amazing how God's word is operating here. You know, we know this. We also know one other thing, and there are many other things that we could talk about, but I'm going to just talk about these two things. So Israel has got to come unto the salvation and acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord, but also that the word of God will have been spread to all nations, so that no one could say that they did not know. So Jesus is preparing, he's delayed, he's the bridegroom. And so as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. And that's important too, because of how you are able to sleep. Are you sleeping and resting in the assurance that your oil of anointing is filled and overflowing? Or do you go to bed at night with the issues of the day, with the fear of corona, with the unrest of violent riotous protests that are going on, and all kinds of divinations that are happening in our world? Do you sleep under that anxiety, or do you have a restful sleep as you are waiting? But at midnight, there was a cry. And I'm going to talk about that too, because Fred Hammond would say, well, late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. Okay, and it's going to work in your favor. I love those words, okay? But I also like what was said when it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Okay. Being in lockdown. Imagine this. They are in a physical prison, but right now, because we are part of this world, we as well are surrounded by things that are in bondage. But Paul and Silas were not in bondage. Even though they might have been chained up, they were not in bondage in spirit. And that's what we are trying to encourage today, that you be encouraged, okay, to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, so when we are talking about these things, we are not wrestling, beloved, against individuals. So if you're throwing haterade and shade at the current president, if you are just responding negatively to anyone for any reason because of emotions, you are out of order. And the godliness that we're supposed to have through the oil of the anointing is diffused because you are not operating in the will of God. I'm telling you the truth. I am not afraid to say these things because every day I am bombarded by people who proclaim that they are believers. I'm saying to believers now. I know what the world is going to say. I know what the world is going to do. But believers who ought to know better than to judge, when we don't have that authority. Understand this. Understand this. We are simply conduits of his word. We simply share his word. We are not out there pointing out everything based on anger and hatred. We call those things out, not to individuals, but we call them out to principalities and things of wickedness in high places. We speak to the systems of this world and we rebuke them in the name of Jesus through the oil of anointing that's in us. I can speak to situations. I know that people are following certain organizations right now that they should not be following as Christians because they believe in so many things that are anti-Christ. But we get caught up in slogans and ideologies and we're not looking at these organizations and really reading about what do they believe. We might find out that many believe in abortion. We might find that many believe in other sexual relations that are outside of heterosexuality. We might see a lot of things that might divide based upon all kinds of things that would separate people from each other. And we have to be wary of what we align ourselves and join ourselves to, because the bridegroom is coming. And are we going to have oil in our lamps, and are we going to have the overflow of that oil for his return? Woo! Let me continue on, because I'm telling you, I could stay right there. But so let's continue on though. So at the midnight hour, there was a cry, and here is the bridegroom. Honestly, listen, folks, listen, because the atmosphere is being set up right now, okay? We're not there yet, but it's being set up right now. But there will be a day when we're going to hear the trump sound and the bridegroom will be here. And so, with that said, it says, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps a going out. Now, this, to me, is one of the most critical lines in this parable. And the reason that it's so critical and so important is that if we're reading this in the spiritual context, those who are foolish are asking for an anointing that cannot be given by any other individual. What do I really mean? Is that your family can't ride on the tail of your anointing. They have to get to their own place of anointing and overflow. You know, just because you are in a household where the father and mother are saved does not mean that you get automatic dibs to the kingdom of heaven. You have to do your own labor, your own praying, your own fasting, your own preparation for the anointing to fall upon you, to dwell inside of you, and to overflow out of you. And they woke up realizing that they did not have enough oil. I equate it to this. You guys ever come home late night and, you know, it's dark and you worked all day. Whew, I'm tired. All I want to do is get into bed. And you look at your gas reading on your in your car, and you might even have the little red light is on, okay? And you say, I don't want to go to the gas station because I'm tired. And so you say, well, I'm going to just do it in the morning. All right. So you go to bed and everything. You wake up in the morning and you have to get to work, and you need to get to work at a certain time. And you realize the error of your ways, because instead of taking your regular route to work, now you got to reroute to stop off at the gas station first, okay? Now, you get to the gas station and all of a sudden there's a run on gas, and so there are lines there and you have to wait, which means that you could literally be late getting to work. Well, don't you understand, beloved? That is what's happening here. 10 virgins woke up and 5 virgins realized that they should have filled their tanks overnight, and they didn't. And now we use a word that's called, now they're scrambling. All right, so let's read on. So they said, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. Now, I kind of struggle with that for a moment, because I'm like, well, what are you saying here, Lord? Are you saying that we can purchase the oil of anointing? And I had to deal with that because, you know, I'm trying to be as theologically accurate as possible, and definitely spiritually accurate as possible. And what the Lord revealed to me is that in Jewish custom, it was oftentimes easy to relate needing to actually receive the blessings of the Lord in terminology that references purchasing or buying. And that's how I had to look at it, because I was like, you can't buy what only God can give. You know, and I was thinking about stuff that was going on when, you know, there were spirits of evilness and wickedness going around and people were trying to purchase the Holy Spirit, as if you could ever do that. You cannot. So I was able to reconcile that because it was messing with me for a moment. And so they told him, but you got to go out and you got to do your own praying. You got to do your own fasting. That's what they're really saying. You got to do your own preparation. We can't help you because we're not willing to take the chance, even if we could, of giving up anything that we have already fasted and prayed for, because we are filled with something that just can't be sold as a commodity. What we have has been earned by our faithfulness, by our prayers, by our submission unto God our Father. And so it says, and while they were going to buy, can you imagine the quick prayers that were going up? Please help me, Lord. Help me right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I'm just having a little fun with that. But just imagine the mad scramble that was going on. And then it says, and while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, C-A-M-E, came, which means that not coming anymore. He came, which means that not only did he arrive, but came is the past tense, which means he came and went. Get it? Okay, so they missed out on all of that, trying to purchase that which cannot be purchased by anywhere but fasting and prayer and relationship with Almighty God. We're almost in the home stretch here. Okay, so now it says, and the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, those five wise virgins who were ready, went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. That might seem really harsh, okay? But as I shared this with my wife, Pastor Lee, I see you, God bless you. But as I shared with my wife, the reason why it is not harsh for the Lord to shut the door is because those 10 virgins were on equal territory. They had the same opportunities, the same privileges, the same access to the same Holy Spirit. Five decided to take it seriously and prepare ye the way for the Lord. And five were foolish and said, we'll do it tomorrow. Our gas tank is on E, but we'll fill up in the morning. But the bridegroom came before morning and took the five who were wise and took them to the marriage feast and shut the door. Shutting the door, meaning no longer is there access. The door has been closed. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Can you imagine kind of like the scripture that says, you know, that many, you know, have done things in my name, but I don't know them? You understand where I'm coming from here? Okay, so Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So, as I'm getting ready to wrap things up, we don't know the day or hour, yet we should prepare as if it could be right now. And that, my beloved, is beyond just receiving Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. You got to put in a little more work than that. You've got to study a little more than that. You have to fast a little more than that. You have to worship a little more than that. You have to pray a little more than that. because the bridegroom is coming. We are seeing in our world right now that things are getting really serious. Things are getting, they are so off the chain that it is ridiculous that those who profess to know Jesus Christ are not seeing the sign of the times. And the signs of the times are here, beloved. You know, we've seen it. We've seen it by actions out of North Korea. We've seen it by the subsequent actions out of Russia and out of China. I'm just calling it like it is, because that is another part of the winds that are blowing, that are introducing the Antichrist into this existence. And this coronavirus that we are still dealing with, again, I've said it in previous teachings, beloved. You want to get rid of corona? It's not going to be by wearing masks. I'm telling you, you put on masks all day long. There's a spiritual thing, because corona is a spiritual component. And the only way to offset that is through repentance. Repent. Turn away from evil. That's the only way. That's what tickles God's heart. That is the method. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter encouraged them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit, the oil of anointing. It's not that difficult, guys. Seriously. Seriously. So, what does this all have to do with the original subject, which is, can my gown be white again? It simply means that if you're listening to this video, then if there are any obstructions that are separating you from making sure that not only is your lamp filled, but overflowing in the oil of anointing, you can be rebirthed in a new way of thinking, a new way of living. That the tarnish that is on your current spiritual clothing will be removed miraculously. And that the Holy Spirit will clean you up and make you white as snow. And you can be pure before God. And God will receive you into the marriage feast of the Lamb. And remember, when we talk about Jesus in the form of a lamb, just think back to Exodus, at a time when the death angel was unleashed, and the only way that you could escape the repercussions of the hit that was getting ready to take place upon the male seed was to make sure that the blood stain of an innocent animal was upon your doorpost. And today, I'm encouraging you to live a life in which that same blood stain, no longer with an innocent animal, but with an innocent Savior that we call Jesus. And allow him to be the covering in his blood, that when God the Father looks down upon you, he does not see all the wickedness, but he sees the righteousness. He sees our oils are filled, our oil and our lamps are filled. And he then allows us into the feast of all feasts, in which we can be united in holy matrimony with a white gown on, the white gown of purity and holiness before an ever-loving, everlasting Father, and connected through our bridegroom, Jesus. That's it, beloved. Let me read this real quick and I'm out the way. Revelation 19, 6 through 9. This is the Apostle John talking. He says, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the linen is the righteousness or the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" And we just want to be operating in the true words of God. That we won't be like the five that were left out, but that we would have access to our Father in heaven. If that is you today, come, not just for salvation, but for a refilling of the oil of anointing, that your gown could be white again, and that we present ourselves at the marriage supper of the Lamb, unblemished and pure in heart, this is my prayer for all my beloved, all who profess the name of Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the Lamb of God. Remember, the Lamb just represents the innocence of Jesus as he was slain and bled out that we might live again. Have a great Sunday, and Myra and I will be back next week with another message that is centered on Jesus Christ. Be blessed and highly favored in our Lord.